Hello and welcome to our weekly podcast from Faith Point Church, Auckland, New Zealand. We hope you will encounter God afresh in this week's teaching segment. If you enjoy this podcast and would like to hear more, then you can visit us at www.faithpoint.org.nz. And now for today's message.
Hey, well, good morning, everyone. Good to have you online and people that are watching through YouTube clips. Really good. This morning, I'd like us to be able to open up God's word in Colossians 3, verse 12 and through to verse 14. It's become a very powerful scripture to me through this year. Every day you want to, lean into God's word, but through every week, every month, this is a scripture that's really just stenciled itself in my heart. And sharing it with you this morning, hopefully it will be powerful for you as you end this year out and you sort of step into the new year as well. So this is what Colossians says. Since God, who chose you to be a holy people who he loves, you must clothe yourself, one, with tender-hearted mercy, two, kindness, three, gentleness, four, patience. You must make allowances for each other's faults, forgive people who offend you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. And the most important piece of clothing is love. So this morning, I want to talk about the most important piece of clothing is love. I always used to think the most important piece of clothing to wear was my pants. Pretty embarrassing if you get out and do life without a pair of pants on in the morning. But the Bible tells us the most important piece of clothing is love. So I want to just talk about this morning. Love expresses itself in many, many ways. Obviously your family, you're close to your family. I had my 65th birthday a couple of weeks ago, and my children were scratching their heads and thinking, what can they do for a present for me? They knew I love sailing. So they got me a ticket on the America's Cup boat. So they kidnapped me and they took me down to West Haven, downtown there. And I had the afternoon on the America's Cup boat. It was right up my alley. It was a great thing, but it was a small expression of someone's love, but it was intentional. And this year, Pastor Richard and I were over in Borneo doing some seminars, and we went to different places, more places than we probably wanted to go to, but all these doors opened up. But the theme of the conference was clothe yourself in love. And what really got me, that even the time I was there beforehand, one of my spiritual sons, he took me to town, to this really remote town in the jungles there, but it was a town, and they had this tailor, and they measured me up for a custom-made shirt. That's the one I'm wearing this morning. Very fine material, brilliant. And so this tailor made the shirt up for me, and they gave it to me. But really what my spiritual grandson was doing, he was clothing me with love. And I really appreciated that. It was a simple act, but a powerful act. And I think we need to be able to be looking with eyes towards the world and how we can express our love intentionally for people, playing it forward with intentionality. Isaiah, prophet, he said this in chapter 61 and verse 10, I am overwhelmed with joy in my God, or in the Lord of my God, for he has dressed me with clothing of salvation. He's draped me with robes of righteousness. I'm like a bridegroom dressed for his wedding. I've only been dressed as a bridegroom once for a wedding. Don't plan to do any more dressing up for any more weddings for myself, but thing is, you get dressed, you get your hair cut, you get your shoes clean, you get dressed up. It's a special day. But reality, when we look at our life, the Lord has dressed us with his salvation. He's put on us each a robe of righteousness. That's incredible. But maybe we could play that forward. We could be able to help people, adorn themselves in that righteousness. We have to point them to our Savior. When I first got saved, this is a scripture in Isaiah 1, right at the beginning of Isaiah. It says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are scarlet, they will be white as snow. And although they are red like crimson, they will be white as wool. Picture again of our stained life become pure, becoming white. They might be stained with crimson, like blood, but they will be white as well. There's this transformation, a metamorphosis is going on. You know, we should never, ever forget the price the Lord's paid, the intentionality of what actually happened there. But Jesus said, you know, play it forward, guys. He said this, you know, love each other. Obviously, love the Lord your God, but love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. You know, some people are really easy to love. Some people are more challenging to love. And some people are just about near impossible to love. But we still got to do it. It takes a bit of effort. It takes intentionality. But he goes on to say, for your love, one for another will prove to the world that you're my disciples. Actions speak louder than words. You know, people see a life and if it's full of hypocrisy and double standards, they don't want to buy into that. That if they see care and intentionality for people around us, you know, they welcome that with open arms. You know, they don't fight it off. They don't repel that. They accept that for what it is. Yeah, we are a work in progress. None of us are perfect. We started off filthy and dirty, smelly, but work in progress. So we're having this exchange go on. You know, we're going, you know, we're putting on this righteousness. There is an exchange process going on. It's not easy, but it's a reality. But still, having said that, we need to daily put on love, intentionally putting on love, you know, thinking, what can I do today to bless someone? Sometimes it's just words of declaration, like Pastor Richard said, you know, blessing people, being intentional about what we do. You know, when we had this 20-year celebration that Richard and I were at, they were talking about clothing yourself with love. And I looked at this ministry that had been going for 20-odd years, from 20 years ago, where it was just absolute jungle, but the vision to go and do something. And the reality was to clothe 1,000 children every day with the love of God, to disciple them, to feed them, to educate them, to prepare them for a future, clothe them physically, but also clothe them spiritually. You know, always having another plate, always having another pillow. And we look back in 20 years' time, which seemed like, well, how could you do 1,000 people like this? But that's describing a present reality now. But it was an intentional challenge by the Holy Spirit to go somewhere and do something. Every year, this time of the year, we're just about stepping into December, I'm always asking the Lord, what should I be doing next year? You know, can you show me clearly, specifically, what I should be doing? Or what should I not be doing? Pruning some certain things off, but asking for the Holy Spirit to direct our lives. And I'm learning to listen to the Spirit more each day, thinking, how can I bless the world that I'm in? And just impart God's grace. You know, so we've seen 1,000 young people in this ministry just blessed. You know, this is just one ministry we're working with, but we've seen these children grow up and they're out young adults now and they're wanting to play it for. They can't keep it to themselves. And so, you know, I was up there a couple of weeks ago and the Lord was saying, one more, one more. And I said, what do you mean one more? And the Lord said, I want you to sponsor one more child. Now, Chris and I, we've sponsored children through Tear Fund through the years, and they've been more based in the Caribbean. And we've got children in Indonesia that we're sponsoring as well. But the Lord said one more. And they had another batch of about 80 children come into the ministry. And I'm thinking, one more, which one, which one? I don't want to just name any, meeny, miny, mo. And so I was sitting in the dining room hall, and I sat next to this young girl. The Lord said, this is the one, this is the one. And I found out she came from a broken situation. Her dad and mother separated. The dad had gone off to have an affair with another woman living with a younger model. And so this young girl was living without a father. And then the mother remarried another man. And it was a very frustrating, very abusive situation. And so the ministries picked this girl up, and the Lord said, she is the one. And you realize there's an X factor on her life. God's going to grow her quickly, physically, but spiritually she's going to excel. And then she's got this little brother, you know, she's actually a stepbrother from the other father. But he's got a broken life as well. But is there someone that you can invest in? You know, I'm not saying children's ministry, but is there someone this year that you can intentionally love and express something above and beyond the norm, to embrace them with the things of the Lord? You know, and I'm thinking, oh, that's cool, this young girl. But then there was this other girl, the sister of one of our missionaries there. And over a four-day period, I connected with her, and she was like a brand new Christian with all sorts of things in her life. She asked me to pray for deliverance for her and all sorts of things, but we baptized her. But her family was broken. You know, her brother was in England, living in a car in the streets. And he said, you don't know how cold it was in the middle of England, you know, in the middle of winter. And here's the younger sister, you know, she'd been through a similar situation, preferring not to be in home because it was such a harsh environment. No one showed love to her. But, you know, she said after a four-day period of getting to know, you know, me, she understood what the love of God was about. And I'm just saying this is a practical thing, that there are people around us that we can connect with and guide them on their journey, just to express, you know, the love of Christ in and through our life. This is what the Bible says. We probably know the scripture. It says, no greater love as this, and one man lay down his life for his friends. You know, Jesus did that for us. He laid down his life for us. It's pretty easy to lay life down for our mates and our friends and our families. Sometimes it's not so hard, but we do that with intentionality. Greater love is this, that no one lays his life down for his friends. Thing is, there's a new generation of people coming through. And, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we had about 270 church planters come together from one of our ministries there. And we commissioned 27 young people that had gone through primary school, been through secondary school. Many of them had been through university. They'd all completed 3 years of Bible college. These are some of our brand new graduates. But they were going off back to their home villages in the jungles of Borneo. And they don't want to go off and basically say, look how wonderful we are. They want to go and take God's love to their communities. People that don't really know the Lord or got a misconception of who the Lord is because religious entities have gone in and distorted, you know, who Jesus really is. But there's a new generation coming through, and they want to be able to practically take God's love to people. You know, they'll be going and serving and preaching, but they're not going to teach from the head. They're going to be teaching from their heart, you know, loving the people where they go to. You know, when Richard and I were traveling, we covered a lot of miles really, really quickly. And we went back to Denver Bazaar, and it was like one more meeting. And I'm thinking, oh, it'd be nice to go and crash at the hotel and have a bit of a time out. But we went to one more place, and the Lord, and I shared this before recently, word of knowledge, you know, that someone had woman's problems, and I realized it was breast cancer. Long story short, we prayed for her. And I'm thinking, if we didn't go to pray for her, the love of God probably wouldn't have been able to be invested in this woman's life. You know, she was due to have surgery for double mastectomy, having both breasts cut off, a young girl. She's thinking, what's my life going to be like? You know, it's going to be destroyed. Well, when I was back there 2 weeks ago, the doctors, she'd come back from the oncology unit, and that's the cancer ward in the hospital, and the doctors were absolutely mystified. They could not find a trace of cancer in her body. They did all the tests and all the x-rays and all the examinations, and they couldn't find it. And here this young girl had gone from a stooped, worn-out young person to a radiant young woman. This is the lady on the screen. You know, but I was thinking afterwards, you know, if we hadn't dug deep, gone one extra mile, one extra meeting, you know, there's lots of words of knowledge. It could have been easy to call it short, gone home early, but we started to just flow in the Holy Spirit. And her sister, you know, we realized there was a generational spirit in her family that was causing this incredible curse. And she had multiple cardiac dysfunction. She had arrhythmia. That's meaning that her heart's out of rhythm. There was heart murmurs, but we prayed for her. And the same thing, you know, she'd gone to the hospital, they'd done ECGs, and they'd done all sorts of tests. Again, they couldn't, they were shaking their heads, they were baffled because they hadn't able to detect any heart issue at all. Transformation, you know, it changed their lives as a family, but it's also changing the church. But it's the love of God coming through as we engage ourselves into situations. You know, a number of years ago, coming into Christmas, I was at Northcote College as a young student, and a teacher took me under his wings, and he knew I was asking about Christianity. And so what he did, he gave me this Bible. It's getting old, it's worn out, it's falling apart at the seams. That was 49 years ago, December 1974, he gave this to me. And this was King James. I don't normally read the old King James anymore. But he also gave me the New Living Translation, another Bible which was easier to read and easier to understand because it didn't have all the these and the thous and the thuses and all that sort of stuff. It was very clear. And it's pretty much got worn out. And this man, this teacher, he couldn't afford to do that. He'd bought a brand new house. He had a car. He had mortgages. He had debt. But in the face of debt, he still bought me these Bibles, which became pivotal. He showed me his love. He could have told me about his love, but he was showing me his love. There was a price to be paid. And a couple of years later, he did the same because he realized the Word of God was so important. And I got a heavier, bigger, well, this is a Thompson's Chamber one, but it became the bedrock, the foundation for my formative years as a Christian. But this morning, I got some thoughts for you, some challenges for you. And if you've got a pen or a piece of paper, I just want to challenge you to write these questions down. You're not going to have to write too much because they're simple questions. But my first question is this, very simple. How has someone shown love to you? And I'm not talking about Romeo and Juliet, someone turning up with chocolates or roses, you know, but how has someone practically shown love for you that's either pointed you to Christ or has really impacted and got your heart? It's done something significant. So how has someone shown love to you? Second question, how have you intentionally clothed someone else in love? Yeah, it may not physically be buying them a shirt, but they've actually done something for you, something special. We've probably had many things happen to us, but have you intentionally clothed someone with love? Just talk about that and share that with the people, because hopefully it's going to be contagious. And homework coming into the end of the year and beginning of the new year, and hopefully it's going to be beyond the new year. But is God challenging you specifically to minister God's love to someone? You know, the Lord said to me, one more sponsorship child. You know, and I'm thinking, whereabouts is that? You know, because we've been sponsoring church planters and all sorts of people in different parts of the world, but one child, because they grow up quickly. And the Lord opened up my eyes. But is he challenging you to minister God's love to someone? It might be someone who's got dementia, but spending time with them. It might be someone who's sick that just needs a little bit of TLC and a bit of help or friendship. And I don't know what that is, but it's over to you. The Holy Spirit is an incredible guide in the process. So, Lord, right now we ask for revelation from heaven to come to each of us, that you would guide our footsteps, you guide our heart. Lord, that we wouldn't just be hearers of the word, we would be doers of the word. Lord, that we would freshly put on the robe of righteousness, but at the same time, put on love. Lord, that we would have your gentleness, your kindness, Lord, part of our very being. Lord, clothe us with your love. This is our prayer today, Lord, for your glory. Amen.